We've been talking about faith. By faith, the patriarchs stood and obeyed God and went through, even though things were tough, even though things weren't the way that they would have preferred, I'm sure, many a time. They trusted in what God had promised. They continued to march along and do what he had said, and they were looking for the answer to that promise, especially a city whose builder and maker is God, that city, heaven. Looking forward, of course, with their faith brought them salvation because their faith was looking forward to the ultimate sacrifice that Jesus would do for them on the cross many years later. Last week, we discussed the faith of Moses and his mother. This week, we'll be looking at verses 30 and 31 of Hebrews 11. You know where to turn, Hebrews 11, verses 30 and 31. It was interesting last week to look at all of the ways that Moses exhibited faith. He was quite the example of a faithful life and a life filled with faith in God. It was also amazing to consider that he trusted God for the span of a 120-year-long life. Consider that. Trusting in God all of that time, never entering the promised land, never even seeing it with his own eyes until he was ready to go on into eternity. Never getting the opportunity to step foot into it, but all the way along having faith in God. We don't see once that the Bible mentions that he stumbled from that faith. You know, it mentioned some of his other shortcomings and other failures, but never once did his faith in God waver. Like the other patriarchs, Moses was looking for that city whose builder and maker was God. Here the Hebrew writer moves past the life of Moses to the next major event in the history of Israel. Well, after Moses' life. And the Israelites had spent 40 years wandering in the wilderness because of their lack of faith in God's promises, and they were now ready with a whole new generation who trusted God, to enter into the Canaan land. Hebrews 11, 30 and 31, if you could stand as we read these verses of Scripture this evening. By faith, the walls of Jericho fell down after they were compassed about 7 days. By faith, the harlot Rahab perished not with them that believed not, when she had received the spies with peace. Now, I'm sure your minds are just racing through all of that story, right? You know about what this is talking about. The walls of Jericho and the salvation of Rahab here. You know this story. After all, I think you just went over it in Sunday school last quarter, at least mentioned it. It's an important event in Israel's history, and it is just, again, an example of how mightily God can work when people are genuinely yielded to trust him, no matter how silly it may look to the rest of the world. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this word of Scripture. We thank you for the example that this passage and this story brings to us, Lord. And Lord, we're thankful that Rahab was believing in faith in you and in your salvation. We're thankful that Joshua and the Israelites were standing up in faith. And Lord, they did what you had commanded, Lord. We thank you, Lord, for the examples they can be to us. And we pray tonight that you would help us, Lord, to find that kind of faith, a faith that doesn't waver when the rest of the world is going another direction, a faith that doesn't waver when it's just us against everyone else, a faith that doesn't waver no matter how unsure we might be of what the future might hold. Lord, we know that we're trusting in the most faithful friend that we ever could have. Lord, help us to have faith in you. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. So Joshua had learned a lesson with the first 12 spies. You remember the first time when Moses sent spies into the land, he sent 12 spies, one from every tribe. The unfortunate thing is that 10 of those spies came back with a bad report saying, there's no way we can take the land. There's giants, they're scary, and we don't want to try. And it is a result of them deciding not to try and go into the land or trying to find a different way. God said, if you don't have faith in me, 40 years in the wilderness, this whole generation's going to die. A whole new one will rise up, and then I'll bring you into the land. There was a lot of trouble that unfolded because of that. But Joshua had learned, and he, instead of choosing 12, one out of every tribe, which seemed to be the fair and equitable thing to do, decided to choose only 2 spies to check out the land of Canaan. Now, we have a lot of speculation as to why he chose 2. It could have been because he and Caleb had been the only 2 who were faithful enough to go, and maybe him and Caleb had each chosen a spy to go in. We don't know that for sure, but these 2 were more than sufficient enough to go in, noticed as little as possible, though they were noticed, we know that, is noticed as little as possible, check out the land, and determine whether they really believed God could do it. would do exactly what he had said he would do. These two had real faith in the power and the promise of God. They were being sought out as they explored the land. The king caught word of the spies from Israel, and they were seeking to catch these spies, and you know what they would want to do with them. They had been discovered. The king knew what was going on. He sent his soldiers looking for them. They came to the house where the soldiers had last been seen. What could they do? Well, Rahab hid these spies and helped them to get safely out of the country without any further incident. And in faith, those spies informed Joshua and the people, and they prepared to invade by God's plan. It's a pretty awesome story, but it's more than just a story, it's a history. We know that the Israelites marched around the city of Jericho once each day for 6 days, 7 times on the 7th day, and then they played their trumpets loudly and shouted, and the walls of Jericho fell down. To repay the kindness of Rahab, her portion of the city wall did not fall down, and her family and all that were in there with the scarlet cord tied in the window were saved. There's a lot of beautiful imagery there. There's a lot that's pointing towards the salvation of Christ. There's so many things we could talk about and preach about from this event. But tonight we're not focused on all of that. We're focused on these two examples of faith and what they mean to us today. The first one mentioned, the Hebrew writer says, by faith the walls of Jericho fell down after they were compassed about 7 days. It's interesting, they didn't fall down before the Israelites obeyed and walked around the wall. They fell down after they finished walking around the wall. Keep that in mind, it's an important part of faith, obedience. Unlike the initial time of spying out the land, Joshua sent 2 good spies. He only sent spies who trusted God and believed that what God said would happen. While it's all right to have some reasonable concern in major decisions that we make, it's okay to seek out wise counsel whenever we're making an important choice, especially if it's a choice that God has asked us to do. It's good to seek out wise counsel on what to do and how to do it. But it isn't all right to disband faith in God, regardless of what the circumstances might be. No matter how hard the choice might be, make sure you're going to choose friends and confidants who might listen to you and then say, well, trust in God. Not the kind that will say, I don't know, it seems like it's too dangerous. Or it seems like something that I wouldn't be comfortable with doing. Because if you're trying to plan on how you're going to do what God has asked you to do, you should be consulting people who trust God to take care of you. Amen? You should be trusting in people, listening to people, talking to people, and listening to their advice who trust God. We're Christians. We don't listen to sinners and wicked people's advice. We don't stand in the way of sinners, sit in the seat of the scornful, and you know, all of that. We don't go and look for their advice on how to listen to God. The 10 spies clearly didn't have enough faith in God to say, yes, God can do it, but only the 2 did. Joshua said, I'm going to send 2 in who have enough faith. And so he sent in 2 spies. They had the faith. They said, God will bring us the victory. They had enough faith to believe that God would easily do it. You would think they deciding to obey God was plenty enough, right? Them saying, yes, God's going to do it. Let's just get the armies and storm the gates. That should be fine, right? Just believe God. But no, it's not just that simple. God wanted them to do something that would take more faith than just running in and going into battle. And this is something that some of us may have some trouble with. If God said, I want you to go storm this city with these high walls, and I want you to fight, and I'll bring you victory. So I think many of us would say, well, if God is in it, we're willing to go take up our sword and fight. But this is so much different than that. God's plan, instead of storming into the city and just slaughtering the people instantly and going into battle sword against sword, was for them to walk around the massive walls of this city in silence once a day for 6 days, and then on the 7th day to march around in silence for 7 days, for 7 times around the city on the 7th day, blow their horns and shout. That seems like an awfully silly plan, God. What are you thinking? Why would you have us do that? I don't know if I have enough faith to believe that that's a good idea, right? On the 7th day, march 7 times, blow the ram's horns, shout together in unison, and you're going to knock the walls down and bring us victory. That seems so silly, God. But as they followed God's prescribed plan to march around Jericho, might we assume that some of them felt a little bit uncomfortable? I would have to think so. Whether it's 100 or 1,000 or 10,000 or 10 million people walking around those walls. As you're walking around the walls of a fortified city, and I believe the walls were something like 6 foot thick walls. They were massive walls. And you're walking around these walls, and the soldiers and the guards and many of the people are up above. Aren't you going to be a little bit nervous about what they might do? I've been in situations where people would spit down off of a building at people down below. And that's kind of mild compared to what these people would have probably wanted to do to the Israelites. Now, we don't hear of any events happening, thankfully, but wouldn't it be very likely that as we were marching around that wall, they were marching around that wall, they were maybe just the least bit, just a little bit uncertain of how God was going to pull this all off and whether they would be safe? Shouldn't there be at least a little temptation to fear and to worry? I think there would be. Isn't it so good that it isn't up to us to figure out how God will accomplish his promises, just to obey? I know that it's hard sometimes, but it's good to know that we just have to obey. We don't have to know the plan. We don't have to know how God's going to work it out. But God's going to work it out. We just do whatever he asks. Trust him. Trust and obey. There's no other way. I could imagine that if we would have been there, most of us would have at least taken a little time to talk to each other and ask, now how on earth is God going to make this work out? We know marching around a city is not going to make the wall fall down. We know shouting at it's not going to work. How is God going to take care of this? And that's just a normal common thing as humans. We don't see the way God is working. We don't see necessarily the hand of God doing the miracle. And we say to ourselves, how is God going to possibly make this happen? And don't tell me you've never been guilty of thinking that. Still yet, they weren't called to know how. They were simply called to trust that God would figure it out. Because of this, the Israelites obeyed. Again, faith is believing. We sing that song like we sang this morning. Faith is simply believing that what God said, he will do. But there's more to it. Without that faith taking action, that faith is empty. And so the children of Israel took action on their faith and they obeyed. If faith was just believing, then they could have simply said, okay, we believe God's going to do it, looked at the city and walked right in and it would have been done, right? But no, God said, this is what I want you to do. Had they chosen to disobey, do you think that it would have been another 40 years in the wilderness or maybe longer this time? You understand? If they would have disobeyed and said, no, we can't believe that or we can't do that, don't you think God would have said, okay, next generation, you guys aren't worthy. You're not listening. You're not obeying. You're not faith. You have no faith. Their act of obedience based in complete faith in God is what brought the results. I would imagine that it was a little bit scary considering the risk of the city dwellers wanting to do something to hurt them. You've heard of medieval times whenever they would pour hot tar over the city walls to the enemies who were down below. You would be shooting arrows down at them or throwing stones down on top of them. It would be kind of scary to consider that it's very likely at any moment as you're marching around this city, and I don't know how long it would take to march around the city, but you've spent a good work week while marching around this city. I would assume that it's going to be a little bit scary to think that at any moment something could fall from that wall and land on top of your head and end your life. Or just hurt really bad and cause you to be miserable for the rest of however long you might live. It would be a very scary thing to be facing. It would also feel like a tremendous waste of time, wouldn't it? Until those walls fell down. 6 days and there were zero results. You might have made a little bit of wear and tear on the dirt around the outside of the castle, or the fortress, the walls. That's about it. 6 days of marching. Could you imagine the complaints that would have been coming from these people who were complaining for the 40 years in the wilderness about all of the things that were going wrong? Could you imagine how they would have whined and moaned as they came back to camp, at least some of them? Joshua, I don't see the point in this. Nothing's happening. I haven't seen a single pebble fall from the wall. It's just still there. They're beginning to point and laugh at us. I heard several of them shouting down this morning that I was wasting my time. You know, I don't know if you've ever heard the VeggieTales sing about that. Our kids have fallen in love with that silly song about the, you know, there's no point. You know, there would have been no point to it, it would have seemed. But they stuck with it, and God provided results only when they finished obeying him. Too many times we look at God and we say, God, if this is what you want us to do, okay. And then we get our hands dirty a little bit. And we say, well, I don't see any results. I don't see God moving or working. I don't see this happening. It's just not going to be. We give up halfway through. Sometimes less, sometimes more. Sometimes we're right at the end and we say, there's no point in going any further. I'm just going to give up. It's too often that we're tempted to do that, and too often that many do. They stuck with it until they had the results. Historians say that the remains of the city walls have been found. They indicate that they had fallen inward rather than outward, and the way that they had fallen created essentially steps that allowed the Israelites to walk right into the city. It's kind of amazing what God did on that seventh day once they were done marching for the 13th time around, and they obeyed him and shouted as they were told to. Most of the soldiers would have died from that initial fall, but not a single Israelite lost their life that day. They counted the people that went into battle, they counted the people that came out, and God kept every one of them safe. One of them really ought to have lost his life that day for his disobedience. That came later. But God was faithful. And once they obeyed, God answered and did what he promised he would do. Jameson Fawcett Brown quotes Chrysostom as having written these words: "The soundings of trumpets, though one were to sound for 10,000 years, cannot throw down walls, but faith can do all things." How loud of a trumpet would it take to shake stone walls? I've never been able to shake anything with a trumpet. I mean, I've heard of people shaking glasses with flutes and violins and just hitting that right note, and it might just vibrate the glass enough to break it. It's happened. But a stone wall, I don't care how many trumpets you have, I don't care how loud you blow them, the sound of that trumpet and the sound waves it creates will not knock that wall down. How much marching would it take to cause those walls to fall? It would have to be an awfully weak foundation for your marching to do anything. Even if it was a really weak foundation, I mean, the metric tons of stone that are standing there are going to just sink down and make their own foundation. You're never going to move it by stepping in the dirt that's next to the wall. How much marching would it take? What about shouting? How much shouting could possibly take a wall and knock it down? We can shout and scream and hoot and holler, and it doesn't even faze our government one little bit. We can scream and shout and get red in the face over things, and there's an awful lot of people that just learn to ignore you, much less a stone wall. We say sometimes that person, oh, you might as well be talking to a brick wall. Well, that's what the Israelites were doing, but they did it in faith, and God said, yes, I'm going to knock the wall down. No, it was not any of those things that actually brought down the wall, but it was their act of faith and the hand of God that did it. That's the amazing thing. Whenever they obeyed and they did what God said, it just happened. It worked. Imagine that. God says it's going to work, and it does. They believed, they obeyed, and God did what he said he would do. In the face of impossibility, Joshua believed and led the armies of God's people to victory. In the face of absolute impossibility, there was not one thing that an army like that could possibly do on their own to defeat the armies of giants in Canaan. There was not one thing they could possibly do. The doors are shut to the city. They didn't come out. Not one thing they could do to break down those walls and get in. But God did. All it took was obedience in faith. Adam Clark said this: God had promised that the walls of Jericho should fall down if they compassed them about for 7 days. They believed, did as they were commanded, and the promise was fulfilled. It's as simple as that. God is faithful. Put your faith in him. Now, what about Rahab? Isn't it wonderful that she was mentioned here? Isn't it awesome that God thought enough of what Rahab did to inspire Paul to put her name in here and include her in the Hall of Faith? This is sort of a place that's reserved for those who really trusted God, right? Rahab must have had some special faith. We won't discuss too much about the issues surrounding her choice of occupation or her lack of honesty here. Those points have nothing to do with the discussion of faith. And it can really just be chalked up to the fact that she had no knowledge of the God of Israel, or at least very little, and was living in a fallen culture which had made those things commonplace. So we can forget about that for now. She's not a mature Christian. She's a sinner who's getting ready to come out. Okay? Rahab most certainly matured after she was grafted into the body of Israel and made some changes. The discussion at hand instead is related to her act of faith and the results that God gave. It's interesting to note that she is the second woman inducted into the Hall of Faith. She's only the second woman in the Bible who had enough faith to be put here. course, God tended to, at least in the very beginning, focus on getting the men to move and do some things because he had some big pieces to get moved, whole families. It's very interesting that following this throughout the Judges, throughout much of the New Testament, women end up becoming more of the prominent figures who show faith. But Rahab's only the second one. She had taken the spies in to her home. She told them that the Canaanites were terrified. They heard how God had helped them on the other side of the river. They heard about the Red Sea. They saw the Jordan River split open, of course, when it happened. They saw all of these things happening. They were terrified that Israel was going to come and defeat them because they knew that God was a powerful God. She then hid them on the roof from the soldiers who were hunting after them. She could have easily just said, "Hey, yeah, I've got them in here," or could have said, "They're in this hay bale, spears ready, you know." She could have done that if she wanted to, but she didn't. By faith, she chose to reveal to the spies some information which gave them encouragement, which certainly helped them to have a little more faith in God. It encouraged them, not a little bit, that the Canaanites were shaking in their boots over their little ragtag army of wilderness-walking, God-fearing men and women. She easily could have sided with the people of Jericho instead. After all, they were her people. She was raised with them. Everything she knew was what Jericho was. She could have sided with her people. And all of normal sense would say, yeah, you just side with your people. Stop Israel right here. This will end them for sure. But she chose to side with God and his people rather than the people of her culture around her. She did better than what many Christians do today. She sided with God and God's people, rather than the people of her culture and what it had to offer. Her act of faith with very limited understanding and a very imperfect morality led to the salvation of herself and her family. It gave her a place in the lineage of Christ and in the book of Hebrews in the hall of faith. It's amazing. When you say, "I don't want the world, I want Jesus," what kind of results will happen in your life? She was sick and tired of the Canaanites. She knew there was nothing good going to come on their side. She knew that the only place she could find real salvation was to side with God. So she did. And that's the only place we're going to find salvation is in Jesus. The whole world wants to push and prod towards this idea that every road leads to heaven, and it simply is not the case. They want you to live by a motto of "you only live once, so enjoy it to the fullest." But what they're really saying is just enjoy and endeavor to spend your life on sin. That's not going to lead to anything good. The only salvation that there is to be found is in Jesus Christ. Rahab recognized that. She saw that there was absolutely no other way that she could be saved. She knew that the jig was up, so to speak, that there was no hope for her culture. So she abandoned the wicked, sinful culture of Jericho and sided with God instead. Rahab is an imperfect example of what faith in God can do. So Joshua and Israel, they trusted in God. They took the right steps. They scouted out the work to be done by only applying individuals who had faith in God. They stepped out in obedience to do what God had commanded them to do, and they found victory. They were a perfect example of trusting God in doing the impossible. More than that, though, they were the perfect example of why we should trust God even when God's command seems to be foolish, seems to be silly, seems to be something that's absolutely harebrained and doesn't make any sense. Trust God regardless of how impossible it is or how silly the world will think it is. Rahab wasn't perfect, but she was an example of faith in God over the culture. Popular culture is anti-God today. It always has been. But it seems more blatant and more out in the open than it ever has been before, at least in our country. Certainly at other times in the world, it's been worse. Our world does not want to be reminded of God. They don't want to let God have any kind of victory. There are many who actively fight to escape God, but all of their endeavors will ultimately fail. Learn from these two examples about faith. Have faith in God for the impossible. Obey God even when it seems silly and might bring ridicule. You know, at camp last year, one question was posed, which was posed a couple of times. I don't remember which minister it was, but he said, I remember which one it is, I don't remember his name right off, but he said that whenever he was getting ready to be sanctified, the last question he really had before he broke through was this: are you willing to look like a fool for me? Are you willing to be foolish for me? Are you willing to look like a fool for Christ? Are you willing for the world to look at you and say, you're ignorant? You have no sense in your head. You religious moron. Amen? Are you willing, no matter what the cost, to follow Christ, even if it means stepping up and looking foolish? I would say Joshua and the Israelites were. I'm sorry, but marching around a wall 13 times and expecting it to fall down looks really foolish. Even to a Christian, it looks foolish. It's not. We knew it was God doing it. But if we, without this story as a basis, were asked by God to do the same thing, wouldn't it be really difficult to not feel like we looked foolish? I would rather be foolish in the eyes of the world than foolish in the eyes of God any day. I'd rather be a fool for him than a fool dancing around and pleasing Satan any day. Do you have the faith of Joshua and the spies? Do you have the faith of Rahab? I hope so. We're going through this faith chapter, learning a little more about these examples of faith, just what it means to have faith. Do you have enough faith to say, even though I look like a fool for making this choice, I'm going to trust God because I know this is what God wants me to do? I hope so. Someday the question might come, the opportunity might come to prove that. Let's stand. The whole point is just trust God. He knows what he's doing. He'll never fail. He'll never forsake. He'll never leave. He's faithful. So have faith in him. Trust and obey, no matter what. If you don't have this kind of faith and you say, Lord, I really want it. I want to be willing to be a fool for you. I want to be willing to do whatever it is and have an unqualified yes. Whatever God says, I will do it. Come and pray. Salvation is just a prayer away. Sanctification is just yielding yourself before him. He'll do the work. It's not really that hard once you're ready to yield. Once you're really willing to say, whatever it takes, Lord, I will do it.